He's going to help us. He's going to help you up the stairs. And Wayne's going to move the... Thank you. Wonderful. And me too. Come on, she can't have all the favourite. Thank you. Right. So we'll just get sorted here for a moment. So you can all see us. It's a while since I've been up here to speak. Check. Right, let's start with how I got to know Karen just quickly. Karen has volunteered and worked in our pantry club for at least 2 years. Yep.
About 2 years.
She's been a faithful servant and we all got to know Karen through that. Plus some of you from Tomakin would know Karen in your little community street out there. And, of course, Karen comes to our morning teas as well. Over the last 12 months, Karen's been through a huge trial. And today she's going to share some of that with her. And it's a pleasure to welcome Karen's family, who have been through it as well in a different way, because it always affects family. So, Karen, tell us how all this started.
Okay. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. This is the first time that I've actually given my full testimony. In fact, people close to me may be surprised with what I'm about to share. I appreciate the opportunity so as to give glory and praise to God, but also to give hope to those going through challenging situations, because I know firsthand that it is possible to go from despair to complete trust in God. I'm blessed to have my family here. I have my daughter, my two sons, my son-in-law, and my grandchildren, and of course my amazing husband.
Okay, so Karen, you're going to continue now and just tell us how it all began.
So it was around May 23 when I experienced some back pain. I'd been using a star picket driver, which is a reasonably heavy tool. Apparently it's a young person's game, but I didn't know that at the time. So I put it down to my back being sore just from that. I had physiotherapy for quite a while to help release the muscles and because they'd become quite tight. But it soon became obvious that the exercise and physio wasn't helping. So I was sent for an X-ray, and it revealed at least 3 spinal crush fractures. Now, there are fractures. These fractures are different to ordinary fractures because a normal fracture will mend and become stronger. But with a crush fracture, it's the end of the spine that had just collapsed, so there was no way that could repair. So I was referred. It was suspected that it was caused by osteoporosis, and I was referred to an endocrinologist who sent me for a full blood count and a host of other tests. I was also prescribed a drug to help strengthen my bones. The results of that blood test showed increased markers for the shortened version is MGUS. I won't even try to tell you what the long version is, but individuals with these markers have just a slightly higher, 1%, risk of developing multiple myeloma, and which is an extremely rare cancer that forms in a type of white blood cell called a plasma cell. So it was decided to retest in 6 months because the likelihood of it being myeloma was so low that neither my GP nor I was concerned. I mean, I was fit, I was healthy, I didn't meet the criteria, the demographic or the risk factors for the disease. However, I would later discover that weakened and broken bones are symptoms of myeloma. So 6 months later, another blood test was taken and it showed that one marker had returned to a normal level and the other had significantly reduced. These were good signs, so both the GP and myself felt quite relieved. However, I continued to experience debilitating back pain and excruciating muscle back spasms, which required several trips to the Moruya Emergency Department for pain relief. Over the next few months, I'd have short periods of reprieve from the intense pain, and I think I was on the road to recovery, but this was short-lived. By nature, I'm an active, on-the-go and busy person, so with the help of a TENS machine, pain medication, anti-inflammatory and heat rubs, I was able to get on with life to some extent. I'd work at pantry on Tuesdays and volunteer there on Thursdays, and I just loved going there, so I wanted to make sure I could, you know, be fit enough to go. By this stage, I was seeing the physiotherapist on a weekly basis, and I was diligent about doing the recommended exercises, but there was little improvement in my condition. I purchased new joggers, thinking it was a back-leg alignment issue, and aside from taking pain relief medication, I bought every exercise band, weight, heat pack and aid that the physiotherapist recommended. Nothing worked in the long term. Sometime later, I experienced pain around my rib cage, which turned out to be two broken ribs. Here I was, just 63 years of age, but my body was like that of one much older. How could I go from a fit, healthy, active person to this? It just didn't make sense. I kept living my life as best I could with all the aids available to me, but it was difficult. Constant pain had a negative impact on my mental health, so oftentimes I wasn't as cheerful as I could be. Fast forward to December 23, I was Christmas shopping in Canberra when I experienced such severe pain in my left hip that I didn't think I'd be able to walk back to where we were staying. That night we had a Christmas party to attend, and I spent most of the evening sitting down due to the intense pain and lack of strength in my legs. A trip to Canberra Medical Centre the next morning, followed by more x-rays, showed additional spine crush fractures. I would eventually end up with 10 in total. Two broken ribs on the left-hand side and a broken rib on the right-hand side. The doctor recommended that I see my regular GP as a matter of urgency. He ran another blood test, and on the 14th of December 2023, he asked me to come to the surgery straight away for the results. It was a Thursday, and I was at pantry, and for some reason, which I believe was the Holy Spirit's prompting, I told Pamela what was going on, and that my GP wanted to see me at once. I was certain it was going to be bad news. Before I left, Pamela contacted our beautiful Jill, who prayed with me over the phone, and I felt at such peace. Amazingly, when the doctor confirmed the myeloma diagnosis, I did not become hysterical, not even when I was told there is no cure, that remission is possible, but that the disease eventually returns. If I didn't have treatment, life expectancy was 12 months, 5 years with treatment. I had known something wasn't right, but surely this diagnosis was a bit drastic, I thought. I remember thinking, this is a nonsense. I'm not buying this. God will take care of it. My GP was extremely apologetic at having to give me the news. He said he knew a good specialist in Canberra, whom he would refer me to, that the next 12 months would be tough, and that the Gold Star treatment for this disease was a stem cell transplant. I don't remember much else of that appointment.
Can I butt in there?
Sure.
That's pretty amazing diagnosis to hear that, and to say that you didn't react and you were calm. And I guess, you know, maybe your emotions came out later. But what I remember was Pamela telling me, and Pamela said to me, she doesn't want our sympathy, she wants our support. And I thought that was really encouraging, that we were going to stand with her and pray with her. So after that?
Yes. So after my doctor's appointment, I felt led to contact our parish priest. Two amazing things occurred. Firstly, Father answered his mobile. You usually have to leave a message. And secondly, he could see me immediately. So I got in my car and off I went to the bay. I just knew that the Holy Spirit had orchestrated our meeting. Father anointed me with holy oil and prayed healing prayers over me. I felt at peace. It was months later that I came across James 5:14. Is there anyone sick among you? He should ask for the elders of the church. They in turn are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. This prayer uttered in faith will reclaim the one who is ill, and the Lord will restore him to health. If he has committed any sins, forgiveness will be his. I took this as God's healing promise to me.
Amen. I love that. Yeah. You took the word and you did what the word says.
Yes, yep. Yes.
The hardest thing was telling Mark,
yep.
My children and their families. I want to elaborate on that because even today it's too upsetting to recall. After the initial shock, our family got on with what we had to do. Yeah. Pray.
Amen.
I know that it was difficult for Mark because he felt helpless seeing me in such pain. However, having him there was such a comfort.
Thank you. I might need him too.
Tissues, anybody? I can't see where I'm at now. Having him there was just was such comfort. He held my hand during every medical procedure, and even the most unpleasant ones were made more bearable just from him being there. Mark is dependable and pragmatic. He's not a panicky or overly emotional man. So he was a good leveller for me whenever fear had me in its grip. The bonus is that he's also a great cook, so I was always well fed. I was referred to a haematologist in Canberra. The specialist is a quietly spoken man, serious but pleasant. At our first meeting, I told him that God was going to heal me through him.
Amen.
And I did it pointing at him. Yeah. Aside from a nervous, half smile, I could tell from his reaction that our spiritual beliefs were diametrically opposed.
Yeah, yeah.
And he probably thought, I've got a right nutter here.
Wow.
Prior to starting my treatment, the Holy Spirit led me to a scripture verse which read that all healing comes from God, even if it is through the hands of a doctor.
Amen.
This was the confirmation I needed that I was on the right path in pursuing medical treatment. So my treatment started in January this year. Initially, it involved a bone marrow biopsy and was followed by 5 months of chemotherapy, injections, tablets and infusions, and culminated in the stem cell transplant in June.
So we knew that Karen was going to go through a rough time, and so a group of us from here, we formed a little WhatsApp group, and every day people would send her a scripture of encouragement, a word, a song, a blessing, whatever. And I know because you never, ever were negative. Like, I never saw you be negative. I'm sure you had your moments, and we're going to read about those shortly. But we just wanted to be standing beside you and walking with you. And as Pamela said, she doesn't want our sympathy. And so we would be encouraging. And, you know, you really had to prepare yourself, didn't you, for what was coming, you know, with the word, with, you know, having God in your heart and all that. And I know that you did that. So through the early stages then, what happened then?
What I found with, you know, with these beautiful ladies from Southern Life, I'd feel such peace when they prayed with me, and I really looked forward to the days that we'd have our get-togethers and prayer, and it was just like a little mini holiday from this terrible nightmare I was going through. And the daily messages of encouragement that came through WhatsApp were amazingly relevant.
Yes.
And quite often it was what I needed to hear that day.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit was working the whole time.
I call these ladies my prayer warriors.
Yep.
And there are not enough adjectives to express how grateful I am to them. But it's all in my heart.
Yeah. And can I just say, I think you can feel, would you say you could feel the prayers? Because I know even with Graham's surgery, just we knew people were praying and we could just feel the peace. So, so you would have felt the prayers of the people.
I did. And particularly I had well, my family was praying with me all the time, my grandchildren, people from, you know, the Catholic Church. I had other people praying for me that seemed to have no faith base. And they'd phone and say, I'm saying a prayer for you, or I saw a church and I went in and said a prayer for you.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
And when I used to say to people before I was sick, I'll keep you in my prayers or I'll pray for you, I used to think, I meant it, but it sounded like a throwaway line.
Mm.
But there is actually such power in telling people that.
Yeah.
And
it
made such a big difference.
Yeah.
So with the early stages of my diagnosis, I felt confident that everything would work out okay. I thought I was deserving of a miracle. Mm-hmm. I had faith. I'd been baptised and raised Catholic and never veered away from my faith, even during my teenage years. I'd baptised my children and raised them in the faith. I often went to Mass during the week, not just on Sunday. I prayed daily. I don't ever recall doubting God's existence. And I was a good person, not perfect, but good. So surely this would grant me favour with God and I get this healing miracle straight up. I can now see that my pride was what had me believe I was worthy. And, of course, when that didn't occur, I felt abandoned by God. Doubt crept in. What I found, the faith I had was weak and immature. Oh, I had faith. I had faith to go through the little hiccups in life. But when you're told that you're going to die, I mean, we all know we're going to die, but when a time frame is put on it, you need a different faith.
Amen.
You need a strong faith, a sound faith, nothing that can be shaken. Well, I didn't have that.
Yeah.
Not at that time.
Yep.
Mine was double-minded, weak, lukewarm, and immature. I'd alternate between faith and fear, trust and doubt, hope and despair. So when I was feeling well, I had faith. My emotions were up. But then I realised my faith was attached to my emotions. So when I had the down times, and there were many of them, there was lots of tears. I tried to keep the tears when I was alone. Because I didn't want to upset Mark or my family. Mind you, he did see me a couple of times at my emotional worst. And not knowing what to do, he'd say, go and read the Bible.
Good answer.
That helped. So, and fear. There's always a lot to be fearful when you're given that diagnosis. Does that pain mean it's spread elsewhere? What if the medication doesn't work? What then? Is the doctor the right doctor? Is there someone better? You know, there were just so many fears and they bombarded with me quite often. Well, it was daily.
Yeah.
But more in the middle of the night.
In the dark.
Early in the morning. When I was alone, when I felt unwell, when I was in pain, and I was in spiritual despair. So I came to realise that something had to change. I wanted to be like Peter and get out of the boat, and sometimes I did. Sometimes I wanted to, but I couldn't. And sometimes I just wanted to lay on the bottom of the boat in self-pity. and absolute discouragement.
And I think all of us could relate to that. I think anyone that sails through it without having all those things wouldn't be real. And so what we do appreciate is your real honesty to share, because your faith, you said you thought you had all this faith, but then you realised it was a weak faith, or it wasn't faith for this, and and you grew through this. And, you know, you talked about doubt, and, you know, in the book of James we've been talking about how doubt causes double-mindedness and allows fear and anxiety in. And you're going to tell us, I know, as you get through this, how you overcame that, because this is the journey.
Yes.
This is the journey.
So I go from what I call a water walker to a hull hugger, from the highs to the lows. And after a while, you get sick of that. And then I got angry.
Yeah.
And I thought, the enemy's doing this, the devil. The devil's having a good old crack, and I'm allowing him. So I came to realise that I'd taken my eyes off Jesus. And what I picture now is that he's asking me to get out of the boat and to look at him.
Yeah.
Only at him.
Yeah.
Not the waves in between. Not everything going on around. Because there were the doctor's appointments, the results, the specialist, you know, the specialist, the facts and figures man, all floating around the outside and then coming across, blocking my focus with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, keep looking at me.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I look and I want to get back on the boat.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, no, keep looking at me. And there's sometimes, and I say, I can't do this. In the initial days, I said, there's people depending on me. I've got to be strong.
Mm.
I can't do it. And he says, yes, you can. And I go, but I don't think I can. He said, yes, you can. Just keep looking at me.
Yeah.
Keep looking at me.
Mm.
So that's what I do now. And I still have times. The worst time is always just before seeing the specialist with the results, because, you know, he's a numbers person. He looks at the numbers. That's how he gauges how I'm progressing, how I'm healing.
Mm.
And God doesn't look at that.
No.
God doesn't want me to worry about numbers. He doesn't want me to worry about remission.
Yeah.
He's healing me. He's healed me.
Yeah. Amen.
I have to keep believing that.
Yeah.
And so that's the main thing, I think, that I've taken away, just to keep looking at him and don't worry about what's happening around or in between him and I, just to look ahead.
And you mentioned that you decided that you weren't going to own this
disease. Yes, yes. So I took some practical steps. I used to say I was diagnosed with myeloma. I didn't say I had myeloma. And I asked family and friends to be the same, to use those words. I tried to maintain a sense of humour and a positive, cheerful disposition all the time. I figured there was no point upsetting everybody else. And I found that people were happy and relaxed around me if I was that way myself. Plus, I didn't want to discourage visitors. They were my lifeline with normality. So I've always tried to keep the atmosphere in our home upbeat and relaxed. And I regularly, by nature, I regularly find something to laugh about. And I'm grateful for so many things in my life. I stopped using Dr. Google.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I put all my medications out of sight. They were relegated to a plastic tub in the laundry, so I'd take them out every day, but I didn't need to look at them. I didn't want to know about any possible side effects of my medication, because I knew they'd stay in my mind and could become a self-fulfilling prophecy. I didn't behave like a sick person. I'd get up at my usual time.
Never went to bed during the day, even though there were days I wanted to. I'd get up, get dressed, and sometimes I even applied lipstick.
That's my important.
My energy level was the highest in the morning, so I was usually on breakfast duty, cereal, toast and coffee. And I made sure when I made the bed that I added the throw and dress pillows. I tried to achieve something each day. In the early days, because I was unwell, it was only folding the washing or unpacking the dishwasher. But it gave me a sense of normality, and that's what I craved. I wanted people to treat me like they normally did. At one point, I felt led to start exercising. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't really want to do this. But anyway, in the early days, I needed a wheelie walker to go shopping. So when I first started walking unassisted, I could only do a stroll of about 400 metres. Actually, my daughter was with me that day. I walked a little bit and I said, oh, I've got to go back now, I'm in too much pain. Within 1 week, I was walking over 4Ks. The walk boosted my mood, just the fresh air. And I'd time my walk so that I'd get to the lookout at Tomakan at sunrise, and God has shown me the most beautiful sunrises. And the morning sky colours are just amazing. So the other thing too was I felt humbled by the kindness of others, and I'd have to talk for an hour of the things that people did for me. Amazing. You know, people that I didn't even know all that well did the most beautiful things for me, and aside from all the prayers, and my prayers that they will bless them abundantly. I had people from, as I said before, various Christian faiths. I was on many prayer lists, and particularly these beautiful ladies. Who would have thought when I started at Pantry that these ladies would have played such an amazing role in my healing? And it just goes to show how God plans everything.
It does.
During my, particularly during, sorry, prior to and after my stem cell transplant, my immune system was extremely low, so serious infection was a real concern for me, as it could have proved fatal. And I couldn't be in close contact with people, Mark and family included. So there were no hugs or kisses, and I felt so starved of affection. And I'd say that was one of the hardest aspects of the entire process.
That's amazing. And just hearing you saying that you took all those steps, you did everything that you knew to do to help you be normal, and that's reflected in your attitude, because every time I saw you, you were just beaming and you would have known there was nothing wrong, and really admire you for that. So your faith was still being built, you'd been through all this. Let's tell
us. Yes. And so I built my faith up, obviously through prayer, but I started reading the Bible. Now, embarrassingly, I didn't read the Bible very often, because every time I'd open it and read bits, I thought, oh, that doesn't make sense at all. Oh, I'll try again another time. Anyway, once the Holy Spirit helped to open my eyes to it, plus I started not only meditating on it, but studying it. Wow. So I'd read a passage, and I'd read it a few times, and I'd highlight and underline anything that stood out to me, a word, a phrase. In fact, my grandson was horrified that I'd done this on my special book.
You'd highlighted it.
And then I'd go online and look up the verse, so that I'd get other perspectives from theologians, historians, that sort of thing. And I'd see another meaning. Then I started learning about what was happening in Jesus' time. And
that just helped me to understand so much, because a lot of the parables and the wording is written about, you know, how they lived back in those times. So now I just could spend so much time reading it, and I'd learn so much. So that's been so amazing.
And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
And hearing by the word of God.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And there's power in the word.
Yes, definitely.
So
and God has definitely spoken to me through his word. So quite often if sleep eludes, I'd set up a little prayer room. So if sleep eludes me, I go to the prayer room. And sometimes I'll just sit there. I'll just sit quietly to see if the Holy Spirit wants to talk to me. Because, as I said, I'm usually a busy person, so I've got to set a definite time. And I journal. So I write down what I think are God-inspired thoughts. And I can look back over these. I put down my prayer requests and I can see how God's answered them. So I keep track with that. I go to church several times a week and have Holy Communion. Every morning I read from the Word of the Day and Vision 180 books. I read books on how people have trusted God and how he has provided for them. In the early days I was particularly interested in hearing about people who had been healed. There was three women. One, Tammy Peterson, was healed through the recitation of the rosary, which is a really powerful prayer. I can attest to that. Dodie Osteen was healed through the recitation of scripture verses. And Kathleen Evans was healed through St. Mary MacKillop's intercession. Now, all three women were given just months to live following a cancer diagnosis. No treatment was available for them, so they had to put their absolute faith and trust in God. These three women from different faith beliefs applied different prayer methods, and it says in the Bible where to pray using different methods. So I'd encourage you to look up these three women online, because their stories are amazing, and I'd read through these many, many times, particularly when my faith was a bit shaky or if fear was overtaking me. So I did that. I came to know the spiritual me. I learned where my vulnerabilities were and where the devil is likely to attack.
That's good.
Especially when I'm, you know, fearful, tired or in pain. We don't need to be afraid of the tactics of the devil, because we can fight him. But sometimes when we're beaten down, it can be hard to get up. Yeah. But I know now where he's likely to attack, so I strengthen those areas.
And he comes in the mind, doesn't he?
If I didn't take that out quickly, it would get into my spirit.
Yep.
And from there, his lies became truths.
That's it. We take our thoughts captive.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So I'd have times where I thought, yes, I'm going to live, I'm going to be healed.
Amen.
And then other times, and I thought, no, I'm going to die.
Mm. Yeah.
And then I'd think, I wonder what it feels like. Is this what it is? Like, I feel all right, but maybe I'm going to die. So up and down these thoughts went. So that's when I decided I kept focusing on Jesus and building my faith.
Yeah. And you've got here things you've learned.
Things I've learned, yes.
You probably jumped a bit, haven't
I? No, that's fine. Probably running out of time.
Your valuable lessons.
One thing that I have learned, and that just came to me today, is that I've learned many, many things from different Christian faiths. I haven't limited myself just to my Catholic faith. I've In fact, I haven't even split it up. It's all Christian faith to me. And applying different prayer methods. You know, I love the richness of the Catholic Church, but I've learnt so much through the Pentecostal churches. And I think the Holy Spirit, by actually even bringing me here today, wants us to embrace different prayer methods. We don't say, oh, that's part of that church and that's so I won't do that. No. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads us to pray, that's what we should be going to. So, and I got that on as I was driving here today. So I think that was the main thing.
Well, God isn't about religion, is he? You know?
No.
He's not about that. And we're part of the kingdom of God, all of us together.
Yes.
We might worship differently, but we're all part of God's kingdom and we're all family in the kingdom of God
too. Yeah. Yes. So I think that was, you know, quite an amazing thing to learn. No one knows the depth of their faith and complete trust in God until it is tested.
That's true.
And there's different testings.
That's right.
Having positive feelings is not faith. And a lot of these is what I've learned. So if anything resonates, that's great.
Yep.
It was pointless comparing my situation with others.
Yep.
It did me no good to ask, why did this happen? What did I do to cause it?
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes God can and does heal miraculously and instantly, but I found that for me it's usually a slow process.
Yeah.
Oh, and just on that too, he not only has healed me physically, but he's working with me spiritually. So it's like a new person. And I got this a few months ago when he brought to mind several areas that I'd failed, areas that I needed to repent, where I had to ask for forgiveness. So it was a tough time. There was quite a few tears, but I had to go through all that. It was like a cleansing of the spiritual, because if God just healed me physically, if there was no transformation of the spiritual, it wasn't going to work for very long. Acceptance, resilience, patience and perseverance is required along with faith. Being an impatient person, I find it difficult to wait on God because he works much slower than I'd like and never how I expect he will. The easiest way to take my mind off my own problems was to help others and be a blessing to them.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's beautiful.
I've developed a daily attitude of gratitude. So I thank God every day, not just sometimes, for all his blessings to me, big and small. It might just be, you know, my warm bed. The ability to walk. My back is still an issue for me, but I can walk.
Amen.
And that is just amazing for me. I must renew my mind daily because the devil is persistent. His attacks are not a one-time event. My prayer time must be continually nurtured and become a daily discipline, not just 5 or 10 minutes here and there.
That's good.
Not just sitting reading the Bible as I've got the news on, you know, the TV on and, you know, no. Silence is imperative if I want to hear the Holy Spirit's soft voice and promptings. So there's many, many other things, but they were the things that I thought the Holy Spirit wanted me to share today.
Yeah, and your status of health now.
Okay. So today, with my treatment completed, I'm on maintenance medication and 3 monthly blood tests and specialist appointments. My last test result showed that visually there are minute traces of myeloma, but they are too small to measure.
Wow. Yeah,
praise your Jesus. I'm trusting the good Lord that my next results in December will confirm my complete healing. So despite not having been declared completely healed by the medical profession, I know that God has healed me and that this will transpire into the physical realm in his timing. I continue to move forward in God's love and mercy, and as my journey continues, I keep in mind this quote: we must let go of our problems, stop worrying and trying to resolve them ourselves. We must believe, trust, and allow our Lord to rescue us from ourselves and supply our wants, needs, and resolve our problems as only he can. Despite going through the hardest 18 months of my life, it hasn't been in vain because of the immense spiritual growth I have experienced. I can't see that it would have happened any other way. When I used to hear people say after they'd been through a challenging or difficult time that they wouldn't change it because it's brought them closer to God, I think they're either lying or they're just plain crazy. Well, I'm now one of those crazies.
Amen. That's wonderful. Yeah.
My hope is that others will come to know that you can go through the most difficult situations if you put your faith in God and that he will never let you down. I'm proof that with faith the size of a mustard seed, God will do amazing things in and through you. And one last thing, I would encourage you to go online and search the parable of the old man and the white horse. It illustrates how quite often adverse, difficult or unfavourable times in our life eventually turn out to be blessings. The story had a profound effect on me, and I pray that it will for you as well. Thank you and God bless.
That's wonderful. I just want to read a couple of verses of James. He says, "Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, let it be opportunity for joy. For when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be strong in character and ready for anything." And then it says down here in verse 12, "God blesses the people who patiently endure testing, and afterward they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And we've been doing James, and as I was reading your testimony, I thought, she's talking in the practical about what we've been speaking in the scriptures. So thank you so much. And I'm sure that Mark has a testimony too, because, you know, from the other side, it's very different and it affects us differently and we go through it. And I know that he's been a wonderful husband and stood by you and cooked some pretty nice meals. I've heard about them. And the smell wafting next door to Pamela and Dennis. So I'd encourage you too, if you've got anything you'd like to share with Karen and Mark and just have a general chat, that would be one. You got a question? No. Oh. Ah.